Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Markson in for Mike. Broomhead's taking a well-deserved day off. And I hope you're having a good Friday, heating up as we head into the weekend. Going to be 100 and 100 more. It's all right. As long as it stays cool when we wake up, we'll get through it. We'll get through it here. It's okay. Hey, inflation is still upon us. Yesterday brought us the still highest, again, a new record for gas prices, up another 2 cents nationwide. And, of course, here in Arizona, our gas prices are even higher than that. So that has not been a very pleasant experience for any of us. Prices had gone down for a little bit and now coming back up and seemingly not stopping, which is a little scary as well. And you couple that with the fact that Phoenix is experiencing we have the highest inflation of a city in the country, which is a little scary. Now, I think a lot of that is home prices. I think that's what's driving our inflation here more than that's making it higher than other places, is that the cost of buying a house here has just skyrocketed. And I think we've all seen that, whether we own a home. And if you do, I'm guessing you're like us. You look at your house every day and go, hey, look at this. It's like you feel like you're just making money. But if you're trying to buy a house or you're renting, I mean, it's become very difficult. So inflation definitely setting upon us more here in Phoenix. And it was interesting. I saw an op-ed recently that there are Democrats out there, progressives, Elizabeth Warren leading the way, who believe that inflation, it's not just something that's happening in the economy due to supply and demand, but rather it's a conspiracy that big business, that companies, that they're greedy, that they're price gouging, that they are driving up prices purposely to make more money. And I guess I will tell you that to some extent, yes, that's true. That's how it works here in the United States of America, that if you have a product that is in higher demand, more than the supply that you have available, you are allowed to charge more. That's what we do, right? Just like when you go to sell your house, if you're selling your house this week here in Phoenix, you are not going to say, well, I know I can get this amount for it now. I mean, I know my house now is worth $700,000, but, 9 months ago it was only worth $400,000, and I don't want a price gouge. I'll sell it for $400,000, right? No, nobody does that. That's not how it works. If there's demand and the value of your product or the value of whatever you're selling, your service, if it goes up, you charge a little bit more. Hotels do that. Airlines do that. Concert tickets. Everything we buy is like that. So why progressives are surprised that companies are raising prices it's stupid, but it's a little shocking. I mean, to say that it's a conspiracy, let's just say what it is. We live in a capitalistic society, and there is a supply and demand problem that's going on right now. So I want to talk about, why is that happening? Why are we seeing inflation right now? Because, we look up and we say, look, we're so far past the major brunt of COVID. Not to say COVID's over. I'm not having that discussion. What I'm saying is we're past the part where everyone's locked into their house. We're past the part where businesses were closed. Why, we're so far beyond that. Why are we experiencing all of this inflation now? And part of it is we threw the government through a ton of money into us, into the system. We were getting those COVID relief checks going back to 2020 and 2021, and then another one when Biden, 2021 and Biden took over. And that was a lot of extra cash thrown into the system. Maybe necessary, maybe not. I said at the time, and I'll say it now, I do not understand why we are sending COVID relief checks to people who didn't lose their jobs. I still do not understand that. If you had your job before COVID and you had your job during COVID and you kept getting paid all through COVID, why is the government sending you a check? I don't get it. Now, if you work in a restaurant or you work in a business that was really shut down or really impacted, and we're trying to keep people, give them the help up, the opportunity to, pull themselves up and just give them a little hand until things come back. Okay, I get that. But that was like 10% of the workforce. 90% of the workforce kept their job, kept getting paid, kept working. We flooded the country with money. And that was under, again, I'm not blaming this on anybody. I'm just saying this would happen. That was under Trump. Then Biden came in office. COVID was basically over. Everybody's back. And he did another check. And it makes zero sense. that contributed to it. But the biggest thing that's affecting inflation is it's the supply and demand. And what happened during COVID is a lot of manufacturing plants, a lot of businesses, they shut down. They had to, right? They shut things down. And when they did that, it's faster to shut down than it is to gear back up. Because to get back up to full speed, you have to find the employees. And we all know how hard it is to find employees right now. You have to have all the materials you need to build whatever it is you build. So if you're an auto manufacturer, for example, you have to have, I don't know how many parts that is. It's got to be thousands of parts, right? You have to have all those parts. And if even if you have 99% of the parts ready to go, but one part you need to build the car is not available, you don't build the car. So you build less of everything, and now there's less supply. But at the same time, the demand is huge because we've been locked down for a year and a half. We have money coming out of our ears. The savings rate in the United States is as high as it's ever been. Our wages as high as they've ever been. Unemployment is way down. Everybody who wants to work is working. Our houses are worth more than they've ever been worth. So everybody has money, feels rich, and they want to buy stuff. So we're out there as all of us, we're out there trying to buy things. And at the same time, the folks who make things, who build things, they're having a problem getting up to speed fast enough to meet that demand. So as a result, not enough supply, big demand. What happens? Prices go up. That's how it works. That's just how it works. It seems easy. It seems simple, but that's what it is. And eventually this will get ironed out when most of these companies are able to manufacture and build the things they were building before at the same pace. It'll catch up. But in the meantime, we have this problem. That's how this is going on. So it isn't going to go away fast, but each and every company, as they get geared up, as they make whatever it is they make and make enough of it, the prices will start to come back down. It's going to happen. It's just going to take time. There's not a ton the government can do about a lot of this, Republican or Democrat. This is a private industry thing. They want to get up to speed. They want to make their product. They want to make more money. Once they do that, prices will settle in and we won't have the inflation anymore. All right, coming up, we call it Did You Hear This? Jessica's back there. Jessica asked me some questions about the biggest headlines of the day. I don't like this. I feel like she's trying to get me, trying to make me fail a test. That's what it feels like to me, but we're going to give it a try. I know Broomhead never fails. Broomhead passes every time. I know. I'm going to give it a try. That's coming up next. I'm Barry Marks and in for Mike. It's KT.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, I'm Barry Marks and in for Broomhead. It's that time of the show where they bring me in to embarrass me and ask me questions I can't answer. We call it Did You Hear This?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Disappointing evening for the Phoenix Suns last night. Mavs took the win 113-86. After the game, Luka Doncic had this to say about trash talk.
I like when people trash talk to me. Gets me going. It's fun, man. It's basketball. There's going to be a lot of trash talking, and I like it. It's fun for me. It's competitive basketball, and I like it.
Do you think trash talk and little jabs like the slow to get up bit from Booker the other night, do you think that adds to the game or distracts?
Look, I think when you're playing the game, that's a thing a lot of guys do to motivate themselves and to get involved. I mean, I've played sports. You can't tell by looking at me now, but I've played sports, and you definitely have a little bit of that going. I've usually more of a show it on the court rather than talk about it, but also I've never been as good as these guys. So I think it's a motivating factor. I think it's fun for a lot of them. It's been going on forever. There's always trash talk, and it's fun to an extent, I think, for the fans, but I think what we really want is for the Suns to win and stop messing around.
That's right. Five GOP U.S. congressmen have been subpoenaed by the January 6th committee, which makes it
the first time that this committee has actually issued subpoenas to their colleagues, and a rare, rare move here. We can't think of anything in recent memory of another time that a House committee has subpoenaed House lawmakers, but here we are.
Arizona's own Andy Biggs is one of the lucky recipients. What do you think the outcome will be?
Well, I think they're not going to show up and testify, and I honestly don't understand why. All they have to do is, and the reason this has never happened before, is that any time a House committee has asked its members to come and testify, they've done it. They just show up with a simple request. They're refusing to do so here. The Republicans who have been subpoenaed now have been asked previously to come. They're not showing up, but they're all saying the same thing. This thing's a sideshow. It's political, whatever it is. Wouldn't the best thing to do just to be, we're going to show up. We're going to answer your questions. We're going to swear to tell the truth and talk to you about it and then just be done with it. Wouldn't that be the best thing to do? I think the argument now that the January 6th Commission is a sideshow is wrong. They've interviewed over 300 people. They've gathered new information and new data. We're going to see it next month. They're going to do public hearings. I think the Republicans are making a big mistake of not just showing up and saying, if they're telling the truth, just say the truth. What I'm wondering is, and I have to wonder this now, if they're not going to appear, is are they afraid of being sworn in and saying something that's not true and being found guilty of perjury? Because otherwise, why wouldn't they just come and answer the questions for a couple of hours? All right, we do it every time this time of day. It's called Did You Hear This? Producer Jess Welch is asking me some questions, and I'm trying my best not to fail. What's next, Jess?
Elon's Twitter acquisition looks like it might be up in the air.
Twitter claiming in a filing earlier this week that several risks remain before the deal with Musk can be finalized. Issues outstanding, whether or not advertisers could continue to spend on Twitter, and then potential uncertainty regarding future plans and strategy.
Do you see Elon ultimately taking over?
I don't know. I really don't. I think he was on the way to do that. And he came out today. That was the Twitter filing, which they have to do. They have to keep the public updated, their stockholders updated of what's happening. But he came out, it was last night or this morning, and said, hang on, I'm putting this on hold for a minute while I investigate some stuff. He has since come out and said, I'm still committed to the deal and taking over Twitter. But it's important to notice that that Tesla has taken a huge hit in its valuation. And that's where a lot of his net worth is. Like, he's still a wealthy, wealthy guy.
Yeah.
But it's you know, when you lose that much money all of a sudden, I mean, Twitter was like, you know, was like me going out and buying dinner for him. And now it's like me going out and buying a restaurant. You know, it's created a little bit of a different thing for him. And the other part is he may be looking and saying, the way I want to run this may not be as lucrative as it was before. Maybe he's having second thoughts. I don't know. I think he wants it. But Elon Musk always goes by the beat of his own drummer.
That's the truth. We have some news on the status of Brittany Griner in Russia.
After security personnel claimed to have found vape cartridges containing a cannabis derivative in her luggage. The White House calls it a case of wrongful detention. A hearing today ended with a finding that Griner would remain in Russian custody for at least another month before her case comes to trial.
You know what I'm going to say? What does the legal beagle think of her chances of coming home this year?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know anything about Russian law at all. Not to mention the political ramification of what's going on here, but this is just a sad thing. I mean, look, the fact is every country has their own laws. I mean, we just did a prisoner exchange with Russia a couple weeks ago, and the guy we returned to Russia was a Russian pilot who was convicted of bringing cocaine into the United States. Mm-hmm. He wasn't here because he was Russian. He was here because he broke one of our laws. So if Brittany Griner broke a law, okay. I mean, she has to deal with the consequences of that in Russia, but the timing of this just looks awfully, awfully weird, especially with what's going on. It's such a minor offense. It seems like they could just simply end this and send her home. I think they're doing it more for show. The State Department's involved now, saying she's been wrongfully detained, and I really hope, look, Russia puts people in jail for no reason. I really, really hope they don't make an example of her somehow to hurt the United States politically. I hope that's not what's going to happen. She doesn't deserve that.
No.
All right, there you have it. Did you hear this? Thanks to Jess for getting that all set up. Coming up next, we got Jeff Munn standing by in the KTR News Center. And then Attorney General candidate Chris Mays is going to join us. She's a Democrat and she's running. And we're going to talk about this Republican Attorney General debate that just happened a couple of days ago. And I'm going to ask her straight out. I'm going to ask all these candidates. Any of them are welcome to come on the air anytime I'm here and talk about what they call election integrity, but whether or not this last election would warrant the Attorney General not witnessing the certification of the ballots. We'll talk about what the Republicans said, and I'm going to ask Chris Mays that next. Stay with us. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Broomhead, it's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Broomhead. Mike's taking a good day off, and hope you're having a good Friday. We've been talking about the Attorney General race in Arizona a bit today, and I'm very happy to have with us now in studio Chris Mays. Chris is running for Attorney General on the Democratic side, right, Chris?
Absolutely.
Welcome to KTAR.
It's great to be with you, Barry. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you, I'm going to ask the first question anytime I get to talk to any Attorney General candidate, and I'll put it out there again that they are all welcome to come on with me anytime. But the first question I'm going to ask is, unless there's actual hard evidence of voter fraud or widespread voter fraud that would change the outcome of an election, if you were the attorney general, would you have signed off on the election in 2020?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would have signed off on the 2020 election. It was certified. It should have been certified. There is no question that we had a safe, secure, fraud-free election. And absolutely, I would have signed off on that election and on future elections.
It scares me that we had a Republican attorney general debate a couple of days ago on Horizon. And I watched it, and it scared the heck out of me as an attorney. And I'm being really honest here, because the attorney general has to, they're the number one law enforcement officer in the state, and they have to be able to impartially enforce our laws. It can't be, I'm not going to sign off on an election because Donald Trump told me not to.
Correct.
And it would help the same thing on the other side. I mean, it just scares me. That's the person who has to stand up. And we were fortunate here in Arizona to have Maricopa County Board of Supervisors people, to have Rusty Bowers. We had people frankly, Governor Ducey, Mark Brnovich, we had Republicans who stood up and withstood that pressure and did their jobs. And I always think it's easy to be the one yelling and screaming, but when it comes down to doing the jobs, most people will do them. But some of these folks running for attorney general, I don't think they will. Chris Mays, I want you to hear this. This is Abraham Hamada. I may be mispronouncing his name. I apologize. And he's running for attorney general.
Abe, what do you think? Would you have signed?
So the attorney general actually doesn't certify. He's a witness to certification.
He's still signed. He's still there.
Correct.
To witness and sign. Would you have signed?
No.
I mean, that was it? No. And no, here's the evidence why, here's the reason I wouldn't. The only thing he cited as a reason was this silly movie that just came out that I'm not even going to give you the name of the movie, but it's that says that there were mules and things.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that scares me, Chris.
You know, Barry, I'll give you another word. It's disqualifying.
Yeah.
All six of those Republican candidates for attorney general who were unable or unwilling to say that they would have certified the 2020 election just disqualified themselves for this race for AG on television.
Right.
And the fact that they were not willing to say, as you said, to say that the election was fraud-free, that the election should have been certified, that they would have certified it, you know, was shocking. I mean,
yeah.
It's absolutely shocking. These are attorneys who are running to be the top law enforcement officer for the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
And it would appear they do not respect Arizona law. They don't respect our elections, and they don't respect our Constitution. And, you know, Barry, I'm going to be an attorney general who will uphold the rule of law and who will respect the sanctity of our election system. And that's just sort of baseline. I mean,
right.
that is a baseline qualification for being attorney general.
I couldn't agree more. Chris Mays is with us. She's running for attorney general. And it's what, in my mind, that's what I always look for in an attorney general candidate and a candidate for the county prosecutor. I want someone who's going to do the job. And that's
correct.
The main focus. I understand you have to get elected. I understand that. But how are you going to do the job? So let me ask you, and Chris, you were elected to a statewide office before. You were on the Corporation Commission. Was it 10 years ago?
Yeah, yes. I left in 2011.
And
correct.
You were a Republican then.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
were elected as a Republican statewide. Now you're running as a Democrat.
Yep.
How come?
Well, look, I did switch parties. I served two terms as an Arizona Corporation Commissioner, was a Republican. Then, look, the Republican Party left me and a lot of more moderate Republicans a long time ago. But, you know, I believe that offices like Attorney General and Corporation Commission really don't have anything to do with politics, or they shouldn't be infected by politics. And so I don't think I don't think the party label should matter. In fact, I think that, you know, whether you're Attorney General or Corporation Commissioner, you should leave that party
right.
identification at the door. 100%, and you know the best result is for people to really not even know whether you're a Democrat
That's
or
right.
a Republican. And you know, Barry, the first person I talked to when I decided to run for Attorney General was Grant Woods.
Okay,
and he signed on as a co-chair before he passed away. And Grant Woods is the kind of Attorney General that I will be. And Grant Woods knew that this is a job. This job is about being the top law enforcement official of Arizona. It's about protecting consumers against fraud. It's about prosecuting elder abuse. It's about prosecuting environmental crimes. And it is, in general, about fighting for the people of Arizona. It's about being the lawyer for the people of Arizona, not being a Republican or a booster or a Democratic booster. It's about following the law and protecting the people of Arizona. And that's the kind of AG I'm going to be.
Chris Mays is with us. She's running for attorney general here in Arizona. And so let me ask you, Chris, maybe you just told us, but what are your, let's say, top three priorities if you were to win and become the attorney general?
Well, first of all, it's the top priority is going to be upholding the rule of law and protecting our election system. I mean, I do believe it's very important that we have an attorney general who will not accept attempts to undermine our democracy. We've had multiple attempts to undermine our election system, to call into question, just like you're talking about with this Republican AG debate. But it's happening at the legislature. It's happening with these, you know, multiple audits. I will stand up for democracy, number one. But, you know, we also have other issues facing us. You know, we've got an explosion in consumer fraud in Arizona. And, you know, 15,000 complaints a year are coming in. Wow. Unfortunately, Mark Brnovich, while he was attorney general, took millions of dollars away from the Consumer Fraud Revolving Fund, which he was supposed to use to prosecute consumer fraud, and used it on his sort of more political lawsuits. That's unacceptable. I'm going to restore the money that should be used by the attorney general to fight consumer fraud to the Consumer Fraud Revolving Fund, and we're going to go after these people who are scamming our seniors, who are you know, using the telephone and digital means of scamming our senior citizens. So consumer fraud is a top priority. And then let me also say this. Look, we have a terrible problem with elder abuse. I'm going to prosecute elder abuse. The current attorney general, I believe, is doing a terrible job in that area as well. And then finally, look, we have a fentanyl crisis in this state. And we have got to attack this crisis. It is killing Arizonans. It is destroying families. And we have a governor and attorney general who are sitting on a $5 billion surplus and have not gotten the job done when it comes to fighting our fentanyl crisis.
What would you do differently in fighting the fentanyl crisis?
Well, look, first of all, we put an intense focus on it inside the attorney general's office. So if that means, you know, bringing more attorneys to bear on these cases, I would coordinate with county attorneys on it. I would coordinate with local law enforcement, and I would lobby the legislature for more money. Again, why are we sitting on $5 billion when we have a fentanyl crisis? When we have, you know, we have fentanyl issues at the border that are not being addressed by this Republican governor and this Republican attorney general. We have human smuggling at the border that is not being addressed. Yep. And yet we're sitting on a $5 billion surplus that could be used to help the people of the state. And I will go after that funding and we'll try to get it applied to these real issues that are facing Arizonans, not the conspiracy theories that are being, you know, spouted by my Republican opponents.
Chris Mays is with us. She's running for attorney general here in Arizona as a Democrat. And the first thing you said I agree with is right now the number one thing has to be protecting our democracy. It's getting a bit worrisome. Yep. Let me ask you, no Democrats are now running against you in the primary, right?
That's correct.
So
yes.
You're the Democratic nominee.
I am.
All right.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite Republican you want to face in the actual election?
No. Look, right. I'll take any of them. I'll take them all on. You know, I'll take them all on because, look, they are not talking about the issues that matter to Arizonans. The other thing I'll tell you, Barry, you know, we just saw a situation that with Roe versus Wade being overturned or about to be overturned by the Supreme Court. That's an issue that a lot of Arizonans are worried about, especially women. And you know, I will respect individual rights in this state, and I will respect the Arizona Constitution. And I am the only candidate for attorney general who is saying, even when Roe falls, and it is probably going to fall this summer. We will not prosecute women or doctors in the state of Arizona for seeking abortion or providing abortion in this state because, and Barry, you know this, you're a lawyer, the Arizona Constitution has an express right to privacy in it, which I believe means that I, as Attorney General, and no county attorney can actually prosecute abortion. That is a clear difference between me and my Republican opponents. They seem perfectly willing to go after prosecuting women and doctors in Arizona for abortion. That's not acceptable.
So if either the 1901 that still stands in Arizona or a new law that comes up says we're going to criminally prosecute doctors who perform abortions, if you're Attorney General, you will not prosecute. You'll use your discretion and not prosecute.
I will not only use my discretion and not prosecute, but I will also rely on the fact that the Arizona Constitution Article 2, Section 8 has an express right to privacy. Obviously, Barry, you know that this will end up at the Arizona Supreme Court. I understand that, but that is my interpretation of the law. So, no, we will not prosecute women. We will not prosecute doctors. I mean, it's crazy that we are sitting here in the year 2022 and women are facing a situation where they may have to flee to California or Nevada or New Mexico to seek reproductive care.
All right. Chris Mays with us. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us today. If people want to learn more about your campaign, where do they go?
ChrisMays.com. Thank you so much.
All right. Chris is
K-R-I-S.
K-R-I-S-M-A-Y-E-S. All right. ChrisMays.com. Thank you. All right. I'm Barry Marks and in for Broomhead. Stay with us, folks. We're going to tell you how to keep dementia at bay. Dementia. See, it's already starting for me. Dementia at bay. Stay with us. It's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Marks and in for Broomhead. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Barry Markson 1, at Barry Markson and the number 1. And I have on there what we talked about today, the homeless situation. Stacey Champion, she's got an Amazon wish page where you can just buy some stuff. You want a super easy way to help the homeless. You buy something on there, you'll see the kind of stuff it is. It's visors, it's sunscreen, it's batteries, it's little fans that she then brings out to the folks who are literally living on the streets. They live in that the zone, they call it, where there's now 1,100 homeless people living on the streets of Phoenix all in one place, just to help them. Because the fact is, they're there. They're not going away, and they need help. So if you're interested in helping out, check out Barry Markson 1 and find that link to her Amazon page. Also, if you haven't done it yet, check out the Mike Broomhead Show podcast. You can subscribe now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the big show. It's the Mike Broomhead podcast, brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get the most money selling your home for cash. Go to highestprice.com. That's highestprice.com. And I did want to mention this last thing. I just saw this story. I thought it was great that blueberries are the secret to keeping dementia away. So for middle-aged folks, or just as you're getting to be adults, they say that if you eat a half a cup of blueberries a day, it reduces your insulin levels. It reduces all this great stuff. It's better for your metabolism, and it wards off dementia. Just eat some blueberries. That's all you got to do. Eat some blueberries. That's what we did. All right. Thanks for having me in today, everybody. Boy, that was a packed-in show. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks to Jess Welch. She produced the big program for us. Ed Cole ran everything, made sure we stayed on the track. And, of course, thanks to Mike Broomhead for letting me jump in here today. He's enjoying a nice day off. It's going to be 100-plus degrees this weekend, folks. Let's get used to it again. Sunscreen, water, all the fun stuff I don't like, but it's not that bad. It's going to stay cool in the mornings. We'll be okay. We still live in one of the best places in the entire world. I love living in the Valley. And don't forget Sunday, Game 7. Game 7's on Sunday. All right, stay with us, everybody. I'm Barry Marks, and coming up next, Jeff Munn standing by. He's got the KTR News expansion, 15 minutes of commercial-free news. That's next. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Broomhead. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's KTAR.